It certainly is. Welcome back to the program. If you've been with us for the first 2 hours with the roundup with Matty Johns, you'll know that we've still got plenty to talk about and plenty on the text line as well. If you've missed it, just go to the Mornings with Matt White podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, and look it on up. You can catch up straight away. We've got plenty to cover in this final hour of the program this morning. There's a lot of other sport around outside the world of rugby league and cricket overnight. Australia have walloped India by 10 wickets in the second one-day international. So the Aussies finished 0 for 121, chasing 118 for victory. But the interesting thing is they did it with 234 balls remaining. So what on earth is going on with the world of cricket at the moment? I mean, we've seen some great five-day tests recently. However, tests are wrapping up early. Now we've got ODIs wrapping up in 11 overs. Mitch Marsh, 66 not out of 36 deliveries. Travis Head, 51 not out off 30 deliveries. Mitchell Starc was incredible with the ball, and he really set the stage for this. 5 for 53 from 8 overs.
Oh, taken. Very similar to what happened at Vankhede against the very same bowler. One thrown wide outside, getting sucked into the drive, and a 10 catch into the hands of Manus Labuschagne. Edged, and that's been taken on the rebound. Again, Mitchell Starc with the wicket. Suryakumar Yadav. And again, is it an action replay? And it seems so, because Virendra Sharma has no hesitation.
Yeah, this is what champion bowlers can do. They can suddenly turn the screw. And that's exactly what Mitchell Starc has done.
Close, very close, and given. Gone. 5 wickets to Mitchell Starc, the 9th time in his one-day career.
My plan probably hasn't changed for 13 years, so bowl full, hit the stumps, try and swing it. So, I think that's just been my role for a long time, is to try and take wickets up front in the power play, and I think that means that I tend to bowl a fuller length than some other guys. That at times means I'm probably more expensive at times, but I'm trying to bring in all modes of dismissal.
5 for 53 from 8 overs. Sean Abbott with the figures of 3 for 23. Nathan Ellis, 2 for 13. So India rolled in just 26 overs for 117, and Australia needing 11 overs, 11 in a one-day international to get the required runs and get the win. 1-300-01-1170 is the open line number. Shane from Marrickville's on the line to talk expansion. Shane, go for it.
Yeah, Matty, you know my thoughts on expansion. I think it'll happen when the new contract runs out in 2027. They'll have to announce an 18-team Foxtel one. Look, the thing is, what we're looking at, this Pacifica side, you can't base it in Cairns. There's no infrastructure. There's no stadium. There's no corporate money. You can't base it in New Guinea. It's too dangerous for any team to be based up there for a whole season. You can fly in and fly out. The only place you can base a Pacifica team is in Brisbane. It'll give it another Brisbane rivalry that Brisbane's big enough to host. And then you can maybe fly this Pacifica team out to the island nations. But they've got to do a lot for the infrastructure to get up to date. I mean, Tonga hasn't got a stadium. Samoa hasn't got a stadium. Fiji's got a little one. You're going to have to fly them in and out. You know, at the end of the day, the decision will come down to Foxtel. They will make the decision where it goes. And they will look at the time slot. Now, we've discussed Perth in the past. Perth at 9:30 every second weekend, live out of Western Australia, is a perfect time slot. Pacifica, I know they want the juniors of the Pacific Islands, but Foxtel will make the decision. They'll tell the NRL, we want content and we don't want games overlapping. That's what will happen.
Well, I see where you're going. And look, you're kind of right, I reckon, Shane. The money will determine the decision. I think that's it. If that money is coming again from the pay TV provider in this, then they will have a massive say in it. But let's not forget too, mate, that the Australian government have shown a willingness to kick in as well. I agree with you on New Guinea. I don't think you can go to Brisbane again, because let's draw a line from the Gold Coast. You've now got the Gold Coast covered. We've got Brisbane, obviously, at Suncorp. We've now got the Dolphins at Redcliffe as well, and the Cowboys up into Townsville. So that line's pretty consistent the whole way. I don't know how much more we need to throw in the middle of that And I reckon they'll be looking outside of that. So I think Cairns is the obvious choice. And the infrastructure, well, they've got, it's Kazali Stadium up there, isn't it, Shane? They've got a ground up there that they could certainly work on if they're getting a truckload of cash, especially from the government.
Yeah, but that cannibalises into the Cowboys. Mm. You know, there's no corporate money. It's not a big city. I mean, Brisbane's big enough to have three teams there. But look, I don't know about Albo. I think he's wavering. He made his big announcement months ago, and he hasn't said anything since. And the way the government is with these submarines, if they come out and said, we're going to fully fund a rugby league side, they'd tear him out of the joint. You know what I mean? It's, look, the Bears are a chance. I know Billy Moore's up there with it. But at the end of the day, as I said, you know, Murdoch wanted that Dolphins team to come in, and he made the decision. And Foxtel runs the game, simple as that. They'll announce where it's going to be.
Let's see how it plays out. Good on you, Shane. Appreciate that. The report this morning from Michael Carayannis, Brent Reed and Peter Bedell on Papua New Guinea's ramping up its bid. So PNG ramping up its bid. They did a tour of the Panthers facility out there in the academy on Thursday. So Panthers boss Matt Cameron ran them through the academy out there, and they showed them around. And we're talking about the chairman of the PNG Rugby League, the chief executive, also the strategic advisor to their bid team, Andrew Hill, who was formerly in charge of the Bulldogs. They were also guests of the Seagulls for their match against Parramatta on Thursday night. So according to this report, PNG considered a front runner to, at the very least, headline a Pacifica team when the NRL expands to its 18 teams. 2027 is an interesting one around this. I get the feeling that it could well and truly happen before that. What are we, 2023? Can you get it up and running by the time sort of 25 season, perhaps maybe 26 season? Do you need the new TV deal to fund this? Does it, if it's going to be playing out, as Shane said, and Fox in particular are going to write the check or write a big part of the check, then do they necessarily have to have the new broadcast deal swing into place, or do they put it into place a year before, if you get what I'm saying, as in let's start the ball rolling this way and then we'll continue it on the year after and we'll be part of that discussion? I mean, where else is it going to go? The bid team also toured the Panthers, as I mentioned. So they're looking to establish their own grassroots development program in Port Moresby. We're sort of back to the same question, aren't we? Is it going to be up there in Papua New Guinea? Highly unlikely. What about Brisbane? Do we have another team in that area? Obviously, Ipswich still sitting there, ready to rumble. Do you move it up to Cairns? Where does the expansion fit? Does a PNG team hang its hat on Cairns? Do they link up with North Sydney? So many questions that still need to be answered on that. However, crosstown rivals and rivalries in the game are clearly an absolute winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. No doubt about it. So they're going to look at that more closely. You look at the rivalries that we've got, and that's what the game is built on, the old rivalries. Thanks for the call, Shane. Appreciate it. 1300 01 1170. Space Ghost back on the text. Nice to hear from you again. Surely Ipswich gets a team before Cairns. That is madness. A lot of chat there around the cash injection that would come in with PNG as well. The Aussie government wants this 18th team to warn off China in PNG. It will be in Papua New Guinea. So much more at play than we think. Now, Formula One. Formula One overnight, the Saudi Arabian GP. So Sergio Perez wins it from Max Verstappen, who started back down the field after receiving a grid penalty. So Sergio Perez first, Max Verstappen third, second, and Fernando Alonso third, until Alonso was relegated to fourth and George Russell moved up to third. However, since we've been on air this morning, that's now gone back around, because a late-night appeal by Aston Martin has been successful and Fernando Alonso has had his 100th podium reinstated. He was demoted to fourth due to a 10-second punishment that he wasn't happy with. He said, what's the point? It took him 39 laps to decide. So basically what happened was he started the race from just outside his grid box. The rules are very clear. You've got your grid box where you have to start. If you start outside it, left, right, or over the edge, you're going to get yourself a 5-second penalty, which he did. When he went in to serve that, which, by the way, the teams do the timing themselves on that. They went and put the jack on his car within the 10-second the 5-second time frame of him serving that penalty. Ping. He got done again, a 10-second penalty, but they gave it to him later on. He finished the race in third, was on the podium in third. As he said, got the champagne, got the photos, got the trophy, did everything until it was then taken off him. The drama that's then unfolded since is that an appeal by Aston Martin has been upheld, and it means that Fernando Alonso goes back to third position. It's already done, though. It just means that he gets the points back. But did you see what happened at the back end of the race and after the race between Sergio Perez and, in particular, Max Verstappen? Now, I've told you about Max Verstappen's just single-mindedness in this. This guy is an ice-cold competitor. Does not give a rat's about anyone else but him winning. And he showed this again in this race. At the very back end of the race, Verstappen inquired about getting the fastest lap, which comes with a bonus point. Now, points mean everything at the back end of the year, obviously. The engineer jumped on the radio and said, "We're not concerned about that at the moment, Max." Remember, Sergio Perez is leading the race and is going to win the race, and Max Verstappen is sitting behind him. Well, Max says, "Yeah, but I am." And then proceeds to set the fastest time of the race. This goes back to the Brazilian Grand Prix when Verstappen defied the orders to allow Perez to pass him on the final lap. Said, no, I'm doing that. And remember, he said, what do you say? Are we clear about that? I told you my reasons. We played you the audio at the time, and it was one heck of a spat. I want you to jump online if you can. It's on Twitter, and you can find it anywhere. But Sergio Perez jumps out of the car after winning the race. He goes across to the Red Bull gang and starts jumping up and high-fiving and getting all of that kind of stuff and doing all the celebrations, and awkwardly walks straight past Jos Verstappen, Max's dad, who doesn't know what to do. Doesn't shake his hand, doesn't high-five him, just stands there. And there's Sergio then hugging the guy who's standing next to Jos Verstappen, and old Max's dad just doesn't do anything. You want to know where the ice-cold, calculated competitor came from? Look in the eyes of his old man, because that's where it's come from. So it's set the scene for a pretty fascinating year ahead. Sergio Perez first, Max Verstappen second, Fernando Alonso reinstated to third. In AFL, some key results for our Sydney and Queensland listening areas. The Swans defeated the Suns 110-61 over the weekend. GWS Giants came back from 28 points down at halftime to beat the Crows 106-90. And Port Adelaide defeated the Brisbane Lions 126-72. In FA Cup, Man United 3, Fulham 1. Brighton put 5 past Grimsby Town, 5-0, in fact. Sheffield United 3-2 over Blackburn Rovers, and Man City 6-0 over Burnley. So in the semis, Man City v Sheffield United and Brighton versus Man United. So a potential Manchester derby final in that one. 1300 01 1170 is the open line, or hit us up on the text. 0457 736 736. Some news in from the NRL judiciary. Raiders hooker Tom Starling has been handed a grade 1 dangerous contact charge for the tackle on Matt Moylan. He'll get a $750 fine with an early guilty plea, $1,000 if he challenges and loses. The Roosters have confirmed that Joey Manu has entered an early guilty plea for his tackle on Isaiah Tass. He will miss their round 5 clash against the Eels. Of course, the Roosters have the bye this time around. So an early guilty plea for Joey Manu. And if you missed it earlier, the Dolphins will contest the grading of Felice Kaufusi's grade 2 dangerous contact for his tackle on Jackson Hastings. So they're looking to have the grading lowered to allow him to play against the Broncos. A downgrade could see him with a fine. Well, if they're successful with a downgrade, that's what it'll end up. But if it's unsuccessful, the suspension that he faces goes from 3 to 4 weeks, as it is his third offence. Jerome Hughes charged with dangerous contact on Tanner Boyd. So worries there for the Storm. He will face a 1 or 2 match ban depending on how they bid in that one. Justin Ollam has been cited for his high shot on Tanner Boyd in the 18th minute. Deemed a fair tackle during the match, he's facing a fine of either $750 or $1,000. And Fifita and Tino Faasuamalawe have also been charged and face minimum fines of between $1,000 and $1,500 if they take the early guilty plea on tackles stemming from out of all of that. So there you go. A bit of money in the kitty for the NRL off the back of the weekend's performance. We are going to catch up with Brett Phillips, who'll have the first serve for you tonight. He's at the Indian Wells Masters, where Carlos Alcaraz has just won the men's final. He's defeated Daniil Medvedev 6-3, 6-2. So BP is courtside, and we'll catch up with him very soon. But Alcaraz has won that one 6-3, 6-2. That's over there at the Indian Wells final. In the women's final, Elena Rybakina beat Arina Sabalenka 7-6, 6-4. 13-11 in the first set tiebreak in that one. So Rybakina wins over Sabalenka. So that's how they played out at the Indian Wells Masters. Don't forget, Bryden's Lawyers, your verdict. One NRL winner is all you need to pick each week for your chance to win $2,500. Go to sensurvivor.com.au. Got 6 out of 8 on the weekend. 6, not bad, considering I got 3 in the round before. Some texts on the line. This one from Matt. Why is there no talk of money and where it's coming from for Formula One this weekend at Saudi Arabia, yet it's all we hear relive golf? It's something that I've been saying for a long, long time, Matty. Thank you for your text on that. I mean, there's double standards and everything, but it's a good point. It's a very good point. I've been saying for ages, you want to jump up and down about live golf, and when you look at it in human rights issues, there's certainly plenty of jumping up and down to do. But you can't just pick and choose. Have a look at when they get down here to Australia, there'll be Aramco everywhere, which is the Saudi Arabian oil company, which I think made a cool 100 and something billion. So where does the questioning start and stop is exactly your point, Matt, and I don't know. I do know that it should be more than less. Based on some of the refereeing on the weekend, says the Reptile, how in the name of you know what is Casey Badger not getting a crack? She's done a World Cup match but apparently can't get an NRL game. Casey is a star. I don't think too many people would disagree with you on that one, Reptile. Bulldog Benny says Perth already has a team in the West Coast Pirates. For them to merge with the Bears would be an easy fix, plus helps with the timeline for games. Bears to be the 18th team. Bring on the West Coast Bears, says Bulldog Benny. Have we done that yet? Kane just says Perth Bears, 100%. Have we done that in terms of what they would be called if they did end up in Perth? I mean, we've had a discussion with Billy Moore, with Daniel Dixon. We've done a fair bit of digging around here, and it's very, very simple what the Bears are saying and what they're offering and what they've put forward to the NRL and what their non-negotiables are. It's really, really easy. So there's no complexity around that. But do we actually dive into a bit deeper of what they'd be called? Perth Bears? Just the Bears? I mean, have the Dolphins, the Redcliffe, formerly Redcliffe Dolphins, now Dolphins, well, I don't know if they were Redcliffe Dolphins ever. I mean, the Western Bears, we had the Western Reds. I don't think anybody's put any thought into that one. What about the Pacifica team? Just a bit of fun for our final half hour of the program coming up. 1300 01 1170 is the open line number. If you'd like to dive in on that one, do so. Good to see the new Dally M scoring system is working. Finally, an accurate depiction of the best player in the comp with Jacob Carraz leading after three rounds. Now, I was doing my points this morning, but I didn't get to see the overall leaderboard. So remember, a total of 6 points is now up for the Dally M medal. So you got the two sets of judges who can give a maximum of 3 points to a single player. But if both judges give 3 points, then you know what happens. So in the Seagulls v Eels, Tom Trbojevic got 5 points, Josh Schuster got 3, and Olakuatu 2. Knights v Dolphins, Tom Gilbert 6 points. Lockie Miller, 3. Roosters, Rabbitohs, Tedesco, 6 points. Luke Keary, 2. Titans, Storm, Tino Faasuamalawe, 6 points. AJ Brimson, 2. Cowboys v Warriors. Well, this one was spread evenly. Sean Johnson, Tamare Martin, both with 3 points there. There are more points being offered. I'm just giving you the headline acts here. Broncos v Dragons, Adam Reynolds with 5 points. Bulldogs v Tigers, Jacob Carraz, the leader there with 5 out of a possible 6. Corey Horsburgh with his 2 tries got 5 points in the Raiders v Sharks. So the leaderboard after round 3 has Carraz on 11 points, Payne Haas on 9 points along with Tino, Adam Reynolds, Tabuai Fido and Gilbert on 8 points. Then it's Grant, Walsh, Harris, Trbojevic, that's Tom on 7 points. And then 6 points, we've got Nickel Klusstaff, Cherry Evans, Edwards, Marshall King, Tedesco, Ilias and Kennedy. So thank you for that text and drawing our attention to that. Yes, is it more even right now? Razor, who's on the line from Brisbane, just hold on for a sec, get a quick news update from Vanessa and then I'll take your call. Looking forward to that. Thank you, Vanessa. Let's go to the open line. Thanks for holding on, Razor. Go for it.
Morning, Matt. How are you?
Great, thanks, mate.
Mate, I want to discuss Saturday at Robina. It was about 35 degrees on arrival. It must have been 45 degrees inside the stadium. It felt like it was 70 by the time you walked up to the top of the steps to get your seat. It was that hot in the crowd. I couldn't imagine where the safety procedure must come into the players. There was a drop ball nearly every tackle because of the heat.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's...
Where's the NRL kick in on it? Like, I asked someone on your station once before, is the guy in the NRL who puts these games in Queensland at 12, you know, 2 o'clock in the middle of summer, the same guy that synchronises traffic lights? it was ridiculous. And I felt sorry for both teams.
Yeah.
And I'm a Storm fan.
Yeah, yeah. Look, there was a lot of talk about that, mate, and I appreciate your thoughts on this one. I don't know what the answer is, Razor. I really don't. I mean, the NRL takes this seriously, so we can sort of joke about it as much as we want, but they take it very seriously. I guess the problem is when you sit down and schedule these matches, how do you know? I mean, how on earth do we know what's going to happen? And these matches are scheduled a long time out. So we're at the back end of March, and you just don't know what's going to hit us weather-wise. So they did think about delaying that. Why they didn't make that decision, I'm not sure. They would have put a whole stack into the thought process around that. But you're right. I mean, it's not just the players, it's the fans, it's everyone. But I just don't know how much we can lean back towards an organisation for something that's out of their control on the day. Had it been raining yesterday, on Saturday, then this discussion's null and void. So I don't really know what the answer is, aside from putting everything in place to make sure that the players in particular, who are out there in extreme conditions, have extreme policies around that to make sure that they don't overcook. I don't know, mate. I really don't know the answer to that one, but it's a concern. There's no doubt about it. I appreciate your thoughts. Got to move on, mate, but thank you for the call on 1300 01 1170. As I told you, Carlos Alcaraz has just taken out the Indian Wells Masters. Brett Phillips is there. He's defeated Daniil Medvedev in straight sets. How impressive was it, BP?
Oh, look, it was absolutely superb. Matty, we expected a much tighter contest, considering that, you know, Daniil had won, 19 matches on the stretch, even though... You know, this has been a tournament where it hasn't all gone to plan for him. He rolled his ankle. He's not a fan of the slower hard courts here in Indian Wells, but he fought through some matches and, you know, certainly earned his spot. He was in some great form, but, you know, Carlos Alcaraz, at such a young age, has made a lot of more senior members of the ATP playing group look a little silly on any given day, Matt, which is why you just get so excited about this young man who's just really at the beginning of his career but has achieved so much. And right now, he is back as the world number one player, and we just want to see he and Djokovic go head-to-head and have a few tussles before the Joker wraps up his career. And that'll be fascinating to watch when those two can play a bit more often against each other.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of comments around that, Brett, as you would have gathered from being there. But, you know, this is what happens when Novak's not part of it, part of this tournament and all that kind of stuff. But Carlos Alcaraz can only beat those who are in front of him, and he's demolished Daniil Medvedev. What about the women's singles? So Elena Rybakina takes care of Sabalenka.
Yeah, look, a tremendous performance. Arena, unfortunately, as she said in press, you know, sometimes, a bit like in life, Matt, our old habits can creep back. As much as we try and be better every day of our life and improve certain aspects, and Arena, obviously, 12 months ago had the serving yips, and they came back to the fore today. I mean, she had 10 double faults in that opening set.
Ooh.
And she went to the chair just pretty flat, really, really flat. And then it got a little windy, as it can do here in the desert, and you're a set down, you're not feeling that confident about your serve, and then Rybakina, and the way she strikes the ball, we saw it in that Australian Open final, we saw what she did to the world number one Iga Swiatek in the semis. It is just beautiful. It's pure off the strings. And yeah, she had no answers, Arena, today, and Rybakina is at a career high 7 in the world now. I've got no doubt, she's quietly spoken, but she's an assassin on court, and she's going to do some great things in the sport. You know, Wimbledon champion, Australian Open runner-up, Indian Wells, the most coveted trophy outside of the four majors, and we're going to be seeing a lot more of her over the next 5 to 10 years.
What have you got for us on the first serve tonight?
Yeah, well, good news from an Australian perspective is that we had, you know, an Aussie winner yesterday in Maddie Ebden, of course, taking out the doubles. So, yeah, which is great. You know, Wimbledon champ last year. Now he's a Masters 1000 champion. So, yeah, really good chat with Maddie. And we'll catch up with Mark Polmans, Priscilla Hahn. And I don't know whether you've ever come across Donna Kelso, Matt, who is the WTA supervisor from your neck of the woods there in Sydney. She's been on tour for 25 years. She's always the person who escorts the players from the locker room down to the court, and she's always got a smile on her face. Great chat with Donna about her role behind the scenes. So, yeah, a lot to pack into 2 hours tonight, but looking forward to it. Not looking forward to the time I'm doing the show, which is 2 a.m. California time, but I will have a nice little dinner tonight, a little nap, and be cherry ripe, ready to go.
Come on, mate. Just go the distance. Don't worry about the nap. Just keep on going. Now, before I let you go, on Matty Ebden, Rohan Bopanna, he's into his 40s now, isn't he?
It is phenomenal. Yeah. 43 years of age, Rohan. So this is a great partnership. I mean, they've made 3 finals this year. You've got a 43-year-old and a 35-year-old coming together. So they bring all their experience, and they could do some real damage on the tour this year. They've got great synergy on court. You know, Rohan's the biggest server, but Matt's agility, his hands, the way he reads the play, the angles he can create with his volleys. Yeah, they're fantastic at the moment. So let's hope that it's only March. I hope they've got a bit of legs and a bit of stamina in them because they could win a few trophies this year.
Mate, stamina's the key tonight. We want you to. So our listeners are voting. Does BP just have a nana nap, or does he keep going to the first serve tonight? Good on you, mate. Have a great show.
Pleasure. Thank you, Matt.
Brett Phillips there. The first serve tonight from 8 o'clock for our SEN 1170. AM listeners, 7 o'clock for those listening on SENQ, and 1620 AM on the Gold Coast. So a big show coming tonight, live from California with Brett Phillips. Good morning, Maddie, says Carmelo on the text. What happens with the fine money, as in the fines that are paid by the NRL players? Does it go to drinks for the people in the NRL headquarters or some kind of charity? It goes towards player well-being and education-related initiatives as part of an agreement with the Rugby League Players Association. So it goes into a big kitty, obviously, and that's where it's directed. This one from Jay from Blacktown. Fun fact for all the doomsdayers. The Parramatta Eels are on exactly the same amount of competition points as the West Tigers. Okay. Yes. We know that. 0457 736 736. We've got to find out, too, how we went in Tommy's Tribune. We'll do that after this.
Independent, trustworthy and dazzling. Time now for Tommy's Tribune.
Welcome to you, Tommy.
Morning, Matty. Morning, listeners.
Good morning.
Great to be here.
First point of business before the headlines is the change.
I got to catch Mark up to speed here. So I thought, do we need a change in terms of the, what do we call it, the mantra? The
sting there.
The sting.
The intro.
Independent, trustworthy, dazzling.
Yeah.
Do we need some new phrases to to tag along to the Tribune. And if and so I set that on Thursday, and I got some of the listeners in, the listeners to send in their own nominations about what are the new words we could attach to the Tribune.
Yeah. Biased, questionable, wrong.
Wow,
Hang on.
Was he texting in on Thursday?
Oh, goodness.
Are you sure you weren't listening and texting
him? What's
your
pseudonym on the text line, Mark?
Yeah, exactly. So we came up with, I think it was the Pearl, wasn't it, who originally gave it to us last year?
Yes.
Headline responsible.
Headline responsibly.
Headline responsible. Which I thought when we left the editorial meeting on Thursday, it's now Monday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, it's 4 days later, that would have been fixed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what, Matty? I completely forgot about it.
Oh, that's there's
to
a
no
shock.
One's surprise.
There's a shock. That just shows you the professional credibility of the Tribune that is Tommy's. So by what, Thursday? This coming Thursday, should we have...
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
Refusing to put a word on. Refusing to put a time.
There's a lot on my plate, actually. I've got to watch the highlights of the Roosters Rabbitohs again and again. I mean, it's just...
Do you know what we need to do? We need to, throughout the week, we need to, mm-hmm. Mark, I should direct this at you and the maestro when he comes in. We need to record what Tommy says and we can play that to Matty Johns on a Monday morning of what they said and what they mean, right? Just like we've done there, which has been a hit this morning. We played Matty Johns, the audio of coaches from NRL to EPL, you know, those that are making headlines out of the weekend. This is what they said. And then Matty has a great knack of saying what they really mean.
Well, Matty, funny you mentioned that, Mark. I want to see, do you have on file there when I predicted that the Dolphins wouldn't finish bottom four? Can we just have a listen to that?
The Dolphins won't finish bottom four. They will not finish bottom four. You can clip this up, Mark. January 18, 2023, the Dolphins will not finish bottom four this NRL season. And I think the Dragons are a bottom two team this year. Okay, so that was January 18, 2023. It's over 2 months later. The Dolphins were just 3 from 3, second on the ladder. Okay, they're looking pretty good. Looking pretty good with that prediction.
Yeah. What he said, what he meant. Unfortunately, there's two same things in that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, you don't have the bit of me saying Dolphins finish wooden spoon, do you? No, you don't.
No.
All right, how did we go with our headlines then on Thursday?
I went okay. So my first headline was unseated. And this was having to do with the Manly Seagulls and how they've got that new pledge to plant trees for every try scored at Four Pines Park.
Yes.
And how I thought they were going to be unseated at the top of the NRL ladder.
Mm.
They are unseated at the top of the NRL ladder because the Broncos are now first and then the Dolphins and the second, Dolphins. Seagulls third. But I tipped Eels to beat the Seagulls, so that was wrong. You know, I've tipped Eels 3 weeks in a row.
Have you?
I've tipped Eels every single week. Every single week, and they proved me wrong.
So there were another 6 tries scored by Manly.
That was a crazy game.
That was a mad game. Absolutely mad. So 6 tries, I think they scored 5 in round one. They had the bye in round two. So that's 11 tries.
11 tries.
Times 100 trees.
Jesus,
there you go.
That's a lot
of trees.
It was seeds.
Seeds,
yeah.
Seeds to be planted.
Would become trees.
That's the aim, Tom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. I did learn a lot in science back in the day. Quick thoughts on Manly, how they're looking?
Look, I think it's going to be a ride. You know that much. There's no doubt about it. I mean, their combinations, that if the Cherry Evans Schuster combination just continues to grow, then they're in for a pretty strong season. I think the concern around that in particular is obviously the defence. I mean, 64 points scored. They scored 34 and they still look like they could lose that at any time. But it's going to be a wild, crazy, entertaining ride, I reckon, for the Seagulls. For the Eels, it's another one that got away, isn't it? I mean, you've tipped them 3 in a row.
Yep.
And they were in with a chance of winning all 3.
Another 4-point loss. Mitchell Moses should be practicing his kicking very, very hard this week because they lost by 4 points against the Sharks. 2 of those goals he missed. They lost by 4 points against the Seagulls and down to his goal kicking.
I know it's been said many times before, but where's Ryan Madison?
Well, he's coming back.
Where is he?
I think
back.
He's coming back.
I know
now.
He's coming back this week, but like weeks, you're 0-3.
Yeah. If I'm a teammate, I'm livid. My next one, number one man. Now, this was in predicting Roosters v Rabbitohs. I was predicting James Tedesco to have a man of the match performance. And he didn't score a try, but he saved 2 and he got the 6 Dalian points. So I think that's a big tick. But, Matty, Dalian points, you had a texter in saying, oh, it's so great with the 11 points.
I mean, yes and no. There are still a lot of things I'm upset about. I think we could say Jared Waitarua-Hargreaves was the difference maker for the Sydney Roosters on Friday night. Mm-hmm. He played 38 minutes at the age of 34, ran for 174 metres. He only played 5 minutes of game time in the Rugby League World Cup. So he had 5 minutes of game time between last September and March. And he's 34, and he was a difference maker. And how many Dalian points did he make? Zero.
Zero.
Out of two judges, he got zero. Farcical, ludicrous, ridiculous. There are three words to describe. Dalian judges.
Oh, I thought you meant for the Tribune.
No. That was just for the Dalian judges. They should be named in shame because that's just terrible.
Easy, Tiger. And my last one. By the way, the Western Sydney Eagle says, can you keep tipping the Eels, please, Tommy? I love it.
Sure. Well, Panthers fans will probably want me to tip the Eels this week. My next one. Well, it was looking like this was going to be correct. The bashing at Belmore. I thought the Dogs were going to come. Oh, thank you, Siri. She doesn't know how to respond to that. Thank you. The bashing at Belmore. The Dogs started fast. They were bashing the Tigers, but I think they just got a little bit tired and let the Tigers back in the game. So that's a cross. That can be an incorrect prediction.
Yeah. All right. Any early thoughts about which way you think the Tribune headlines will be dominated by the back end of the week? I mean, it's sort of the Monday prediction. We get Matty Johns' tips, which I, like I said earlier, a little bit unfair early days because you don't know who's in and out. But I think probably one of the things that we can focus on a Monday going forward is what becomes the most dominant story of the week.
I think you and Matty Johns spoke about it a lot. It's going to be heralded by one guy, Wayne Bennett. He knows exactly what to say, how to say it, when to say it to the media. I remember when he used to duel with Ivan Cleary in the lead-up to the 2021 NRL Grand Final. I think he's going to have the media on his finger and just spin them all week. It's just going to be great. So I think he will feature heavily in Thursday's edition of the Tribune.
I think this is a great opportunity here for the Tribune. This is our chance to send you up to Suncorp, right?
Hutchie.
To get you, embed you into the press conference.
I would
and
love this.
Get you to go toe-to-toe with Wayne Bennett.
I would absolutely love it. And I wouldn't stand down either, Matty. I'd just go head-to-head. Yeah.
Thomas goes, Mr. Bennett, Thomas Costigan, you got to wear a hat?
And I would
Tribune.
I would shout as well so the listeners or the viewers could hear what I'm saying on the TV.
Right.
Because that's an issue. We don't hear what the journalists are saying. Someone get the microphones in the press conferences, please, for the journalists.
It's not that hard. Nice work. Think of some questions. This week, I'm going to pose it to you.
Okay.
You're going to be the person who asks questions to Wayne Bennett. We're going to have a hypothetical press conference right here on The Morning Show. We are almost at the checkered flag on this Monday morning. Don't forget, if you missed any of the roundup with Matty Johns, just jump on the Mornings with Matt White podcast and you can catch up there wherever you get your podcasts from. Jimmy Smith is coming up. He will have Chris Waller on his show today after another emotional win by the great trainer himself, Shinzo, taking out the Golden Slipper. So Chris Waller coming up on Jimmy's show very, very soon. Make sure you stay tuned for that. We will do it all again tomorrow morning. Thanks for your company, everybody. Have a great day. Chris Waller coming up with Jimmy Smith.